Welcome to Wolf Dan's Rugby League Week, where it is the day after the night before, and of course the night before King Zone was Origin 1. Pretty good game, not amazing, but pretty good.
Yeah, it was great because I backed New South Wales for the series 3-0 and also $1.65 to win the series. So from a betting perspective, it was great. From a spectacle, it was one of the more dour matches that I've seen for sure, especially that second half could be up there with one of the worst halves of Origin football
scrappy,
I've ever seen. Yeah, it was really scrappy.
All right, so we're going to go through this last week as we always do, and we will, of course, start with Origin. Let's bring up just a quick summation of the game. So here's the graphic, full-time result. We know the score. First time the Blues have won back-to-back at Suncorp since 97-98. 4-1. Obviously, a big talking point was Cleary's kicking and also Zach Lomax missed a bit of a gimme. New South Wales were dominant yardage, defence and discipline. Absolutely. And 1 try in 2 games for the Maroons at Suncorp is a stat that stings. Of course, game 3 was there last year. They only got 1 try. They only got 1 try this time. And that was when there was somebody off the field as well. It's hard to see them.
Defence, New South Wales defence is just unbelievable. The speed off the line, and they had a clear game plan, I thought, from the opening set. They made about 60 yards off the first set, and they just went one out, one out, one out. And that's why it was such a dour game, I thought. But it was a clear plan by Daly to just smash him up the middle and yardage. And then you got Cleary's kicking game and Moses' kicking game getting his good field position, which we talked about last week.
Bring up, there's some commentary around there, the Moses and Cleary combination. So listen to what Joey had to say. He thought the kicking game, smart running was good. Said Cleary's increased running added threat. It felt to me like Cleary was really the dominant playmaker. Mitch Moses had a pretty quiet game really overall. He thinks that they'll both gel together a lot in game 2. It's interesting what Joey said, is he flagged there could be some issues because they use different balls in Origin, and maybe that's why Cleary was...
Yeah, I don't know. It's just the shape of the ball a little bit, but you think it'd be the same as what it has been in past matches. It might just... Who knows? I didn't hear.
I listened to what Cleary said in his after-match interview. He said he really enjoyed playing with Mitch and says that they see the game the same. So onward and upward for them.
I think that can improve. That's a scary thing.
Yeah. So let's move on to the issues with the Maroons. So there's a lot of talk about the Maroons' spine. It was pretty weak, wasn't it? Harry Grant, who some people are saying had his worst game in Origin, just couldn't get going.
He was trying a lot of things. I felt like they looked frustrated. It was a very un-Queensland-like display, I thought, where they looked frustrated, and even the crowd was quiet. The atmosphere there just didn't seem what it was. It was very un-Origin-like Origin, really, and Queensland contributed to that a lot. I felt like they did a lot of dumb things, which they don't do. They gave away a lot of dumb penalties. I thought Harry was trying too hard. I thought Munster was trying too hard. It just wasn't gelling.
Yeah. They said that Munster didn't run enough. That was one of the criticisms. The spine looked disconnected. I've got a few comments up here that we can talk through. So let's look at that first one. Queensland's spine looked disconnected. Potential discussion around DC or Dearden role adjustments. Maybe Dearden could be a running 13. Munster didn't run enough, lacked impact. Interesting comment from Gus Gould. Questions their ability to improve. I'm struggling to see how they can improve it through selection.
Yeah, I agree with him. It's nearly the best team that they put on the park there. You got Reece Walsh was due to come back this week. He hasn't come back, but he'll probably be back next week. So he's a possible swap for Ponga. And then everyone's talking Dearden for Cherry Evans. Cherry Evans 37. So it's I can't see him winning the series, so I'd be looking to rebuild. I'd be throwing Dearden in at 7, and you got Sam Walker, which I mentioned to you. He could be the future for Queensland halfback. But he's out at the moment, but he could possibly play game 3. I'm not sure. But what I'm trying to get at is I would be building towards the future a little bit, and I'd be throwing Dearden in at 7.
So you think DC has got to get cut?
I would. Let's see. They always talk about New South Wales under pressure. It's good to see Queensland under a bit of pressure. So they always talk about there's more pride in the Queensland jersey and we stick with our players. Well, let's see what happens when they're under a bit of pressure. But I don't care what they do. I don't think it matters what they do, really. They can't beat New South Wales with that team. And as I sat here in episode 1 last week and said this is the best New South Wales side that I've ever seen picked, it's pretty I can't see him. I reckon in 10 years when you look back on this side and you got Stephen Crichton and Latrell Mitchell in the centres, that's our best centre pairing partnership. And you've got Mitch Moses and Nathan Cleary, and then you've got at the back 3 superstars at the back. And then Payne Haas, who could probably, arguably is going to be the greatest prop of all time. I think you're going to look back at this team and just know how great it was in 5 to 10 years.
Let's a few more selection conundrums for Queensland. Let's bring a graphic up. So Tom Dinn possibly at six or off the bench. Murray Tuilagi, would you bring back him in?
No, oh, I don't know. I don't care what they do.
Really? So you don't think it made any difference?
There's also talk about it's not.
Valentine Holmes, moving Valentine Holmes into centre.
Yeah, well, let's talk about the centres because Hammer had a very quiet game and Toya had a solid game. They both had solid games. They didn't do anything wrong. But you're up against Latrell Mitchell and Crichton and their defence. Latrell was on and so was Crichton in defence. They were coming up and smashing him. They didn't give them an inch to move. I don't care who you put in the centres there. The defence is the thing, then the toughness is the thing that's going to win this for New South Wales, and the speed that they play out. So, yeah, Holmes back into centre. Yeah, I think the result would be the same. Corey Horsburgh, I was surprised he missed out on the first game. Yeah, you could
maybe bring him in for a bit more mongrel.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe. But
and we'll does see. Harry Grant survive?
Oh, for sure. Harry Grant hasn't played a lot of rugby league. He's hardly played any games. He'll improve on that. Yeah. Harry Grant's one of the best footballers in Australia.
Yeah,
he's a freak, Harry Grant.
And the Maroons, they always answer back, don't they? Like they don't.
I don't think they're going to this time. Yeah, I don't think they will. I think they'll get beat 3-0.
Cool.
They, New South Wales should have won by more.
Oh yeah,
they dominated.
What was it? 14-2 at halftime. That was unbelievable.
Yeah, they really dominated them.
So we've got the Wally Lewis medal in real life, but in here, in rugby league, we've got the King Zone medal. So we're going to award it at the end.
The prestigious King Zone medal.
At the end of, this is just a pop-up show, we're only doing it during Origin, but at the end, we're going to award the King Zone medal.
What do they get, a free Wolf Den hoodie?
Yeah, I'm sure they'll be stoked. Let's bring up your 5-4-3-2-1 points. Of course, it can be from either side. Talk us through.
Let's go for the bottom. Mitch Barnett, I thought he was outstanding. Particularly in the early 10 minutes when he was taking the ball up and he really set the foundations for that forward pack. He's a real mongrel. He's playing great for the Warriors. So as you can see there's four forwards that I picked in there because it really was a forward-dominated battle the first game. Pat Carrigan, 2 points. Most tackles for Queensland in the forward pack and most yards as well. He's a complete walker. He did lead. Then we go to the official man of the match, Payne Haas, who hadn't trained for 10 days. As well and came out and did what he did. Yeah, is he going to go down as the best forward in the game when he's retired, do you think? The
best prop, I mean. But he's pretty good. Yeah,
he's on the way. Yeah. What a talent. What an athletic freak. And then we go to Reece Robson, who
I
don't think... No, I don't think he got enough credit. He basically didn't make one error.
Sure.
He was very fast out of dummy half. He made some decisive runs. And the service that he was giving Nathan Cleary was 10 out of 10. I thought he was exceptional. Zach Lomax was my man of the match, scored 2 tries.
He was a winger, also a 13 in the same game, wasn't he? Did a lot of work as if he was a forward.
210 metres.
You try and do it.
I couldn't end up in hospital if I tried to do it. But what really, he's an Origin player, Zach Lomax. Yeah. The third tackle, he took the ball up like a forward. I'm sitting there going, who was that? And with the pace and the strength, he's a freak.
There's
5 points, well deserved.
No greater compliment you can pay a player in rugby league than to say to them, you're an Origin player.
That's why New South Wales are doing so well now, because they have got so many Origin players. Blokes like Liam Martin. And how good Stephen Crichton didn't even make it. Nathan Cleary didn't even make my top five. Had great games, Edwards. Had great game, Cleary. Stephen Crichton had a great game. Liam Martin, like there was, there's no weakness in that side.
Yeah.
There's no weakness.
So we go to Perth. What did you price the market in Perth?
In Perth, so we sat here last week. I said to you how much better are New South Wales than Queensland. You said 5 points.
Yeah.
I'll ask you again, how much better do you think New South Wales are than Queensland? Say New South Wales side's the same.
Yeah, I'm 8 points now.
Okay, well, there's your line because it's on a neutral ground, so you're 8 points flat. I'd say, it's a lot, isn't it? No, I've thought about this a lot because I've lost money in the past betting against teams like Melbourne Storm when they're flying, Penrith when they're flying. I love backing teams on the rebound or betting against teams when they're too short in the market.
Mm-hmm.
And when I lose money, and I have lost a lot of money doing it, is against champion teams like the Melbourne Storm with all the champs and Penrith have won 4 comps in a row. I think this New South Wales team is a champion team.
Mm.
So,
but you've had your bet, haven't you? You're on them 3-0 for the series.
I'm on them for the series. But I did look at that first game and I priced it what it was, 3.5.
Yeah.
But if I was sort of looking at it, I would say New South Wales probably 6.5, which the market is.
Yeah.
But I'm going to make it 10.5 because I just think that there's times when you add on 4 points for just teams that are you shouldn't bet against,
okay, and
our champion team. X-factor teams, exactly. And I think this is one of them. So I hate giving starts, But sometimes you've just got to do it.
So it's New like South racehorses. Wales, New South sometimes Wales starts a lock.
At 6.5, I think it'll run. I think it'll run higher than 6.5. Yeah. I think on that deck over there, probably a fast deck over there in Perth, there could be a lot more points. New South Wales played very conservatively, as we said, and I think they might throw the ball around a bit more. And we missed four kicks. We missed four kicks. Cleary three, Lomax one. So it could have easily been a blowout there as well.
All right, that's Origin done. We're going to move on. Let's talk about all the outsiders winning last week. There's five games. All the outsiders won. You like that when that happens.
Love it.
What do we make of this?
Love it, love it. You must not back favourites. I said it last week, and then five outsiders won, and I didn't back any of them, luckily, because I'm learning slowly. I've been punting for 25 years, and I'm still learning and still trying to have as much discipline as I need to win in this game. But, yeah, why is it happening? I think that it's happening. Depth is a big thing. Depth and salary cap. So salary cap's really caught up now, and I think the teams are a lot more even. So I think there's going to be opportunities in the season when injuries strike and teams are a lot less on depth. So last week my two best bets were the Dolphins, who were getting 8.5 start, playing Penrith. Playing Canterbury without all the Origin stars. Canterbury had about 10 players out and Dolphins were still getting 8.5. And then we saw Penrith and Newcastle, where Newcastle were nearly at full strength barring Ponga, playing Penrith without all their Origin stars. And I took 8.5 there as well. So two weakened teams were still favourites, so you can get some value there. But I think it's due to the salary cap catching up, and the teams are a lot more even than the markets are giving them credit for.
Fair enough. We're going to move on. Let's talk about Lachlan Galvin. I'm a bit over it. I think everyone's a bit over it.
Yeah.
Gascotti's man. He's off to the Dogs.
Yeah.
So you're a big proponent for young players coming through who need time to blood, and people like me, there's all this boom around him. We're like, oh, I don't really see what all the fuss is about. Do you think Lachlan Galvin's going to end up being an elite talent, worthy of all the press that he's got and hullabaloo that's been made around him?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
I do think he is going to, and I think that people have got to be very patient with a lot of these, playmakers in particular. It takes a long time to learn your craft. Remember Nathan Cleary coming through people wanted to put shit on him but it takes 24, 25, that he'll be at his peak. And no, he's going to be a superstar, I think.
Is he a bit like a young Fittler? Like, is that how we sort of similar to Fittler on the way through?
He's a ball player. He's a big
ball player.
Yeah. He's a big guy. He could go into lock. I don't know if they're going to put him in. I'd be putting him into the reserve grade there and letting him earn his stripes before sticking him into the first grade side.
How do the Dogs handle it? So they've got a bye this week so they don't need to worry about it. We know how Benji, if he was going to be at the Tigers this week, he was out. He wasn't going to be in any team, fair enough. He's off the Dogs now. It's been confirmed. So, yeah, how do you think that, you've got to imagine Gus will be the one who's sort of handling his deployment into the club. So you think reserve grade, just slowly bring him up, and you don't want to disrupt. They're leading the comp, aren't they? You don't want to disrupt.
No, and there is disruption there for sure with him coming in, I would think. There's got to be the disruption coming in, and you can say, and the players can say as much as they want, we're not thinking about it as far as the halfback and the lock in the side. It's hard for Toby Sexton to get that out of his head and to concentrate on his rugby league. And he might say it's all sweet, but he'd want to sign a contract with Canterbury and they haven't signed him. So,
I don't think
Galvin's going to come in and Sexton's out. So Sexton's still going to be playing. There's other Reed Marnie's off contract. I think Galvin coming in isn't good for Canterbury in 2025. But I think Galvin coming in is good for Canterbury in 2026, 2027, 2028. And I think Canterbury will win a comp in the next 3 to 4 years, if not two.
Yeah. And to finish off the whole Lachlan-Galvin thing, so there's supposed to be no conversations between Lachlan-Galvin and anybody else until November the 1st, right? There's no way that's happened. There's no way that, Canterbury haven't sounded him out before, even when the Tigers gave him permission to go and talk to other people. So my point is it's frustrating what happens with all these contracts getting broken and contracts don't mean anything. The NRL need to do something about it. They need to come in and enforce anti-tampering.
Well, how do you enforce a contract? Because it all comes down to the contract.
You go and look at email, you go and look at, correspondence between Lachlan Galvin's management, everyone else, and if he's been talking to other clubs, then you fine him. At the moment,
it's hard to enforce contracts now, isn't it?
Well, yeah, it just seems like a bit of a free-for-all. I mean, it doesn't worry me that much. I just think that, this has been a great example that there's no way that the anti-tampering thing is working. So the NRL need to do something about it.
It's been going on for a long time, though. Terry Hill, I remember, broke contract back back when he was playing the late Terry Hill, and he ended up in court. So it is something that's been going on for a long time. Look at Super League, the Super League war back then. So, but this has been getting a lot of press.
Are you over it?
Yeah, I'm over it. Yeah, cool. Well, I mean, we're not talking about, you know, we're not talking about Nathan Cleary. We're talking about a young kid, 19-year-old. Yeah, he's probably going to be a talent, but he's not there yet.
The media machine drive it so much, but that's okay. Mm. Give us something to watch at night. Mm.
Well, that's what Gus said. He got right into him.
Yeah. Now, listen, there's an interesting story broke overnight about who might coach the Kangaroos on the Ashes series. Would you love to go on the Ashes series and drink beers and
would I what?
Watch all those games? Yeah, it would be on would Wednesday night when they play like Hull or Warrington or something. Anyway, here's some news that Meninga is probably out as Kangaroos coach because he's most likely going to coach the Perth Bears.
Mm.
NRL don't want him juggling both roles. Three names in the frame. Brad Fittler, Cameron Smith, Kevin Walters.
All right, okay.
There they are up on the screen.
I'd love to see Cam Smith get the gig.
I think it'd be fantastic. He'd get my vote. The only thing, I just wonder with family, like I'm sure he's got a young family, how's he going to be able to go, you know, to England for 6 or 8 weeks, but maybe he can make it up.
Oh, come on, mate. 6 to 8 weeks if you get the Kangaroos. He's not going for 6 months.
Yeah, I hope it can happen. But
that's a boys' trip.
Out of those three, would you most like to see Cam Smith get
the job? Cam, for sure. Yeah, I'd love to see
Brad,
what he can do.
Not Kevy. We need some new blood, don't we?
That all do a great job, but I'd love to see Cam Smith step up. If he's, you know, the best we've seen, Cam Smith. I'd love to see him step up and coach Australia. You reckon you could coach Australia?
Oh, I think I'd bring some good elements. I'd bring good structure and different things. I'd like to have a go at it. You have to get
would you get
respect.
Away for 6 weeks?
You'd have to get the respect of the playing room. I don't have the respect of the people in the den, so it might be hard to get the players. Let's move on to feature games. So
what are we doing?
Both these games are pretty close to our heart. We've got the Bunnies versus the Warriors at Accor Stadium on Sunday, 2 p.m. Be a great game. What do you make of it?
Third versus sixth. It's great to see them both up there. I priced this $2 both sides. No value there. Warriors get back two key forwards in Barnett and also also Campbell Gillard.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bunnies are missing. The Bunnies are going good. The Bunnies are – I backed the Bunnies to win the comp if Cam Murray was coming back.
Really?
I think they can win it next year. Cody Walker, they're still missing as well.
Yeah.
But the Bunnies are going good. I can't pick this one. $2 both.
Cool. Let's move to the other one, which is on Sunday night, 6:15 at Allianz. Roosters versus Raiders. I wouldn't mind going to this game. You got an interesting game at 6:15 on a Sunday night?
I haven't been to a game for a while. I enjoy sitting at home and watching them now. I'm aging, Rich. I'm aging.
As am I. What did you make of this one, mate?
I could
watch
only
it for the spectacle?
No. Well, I'll probably end up being on my Roosters. I think they're going. It's no fluke they're winning games. Jeez, they've got a great young side, as do Canberra, and it's great to see these two teams doing well. I couldn't take odds on Canberra away from home. I've got the Roosters' slight favourite just because it is being played at Allianz.
Yep.
There's not a huge amount of value there, but if I was going to bet, I would rather take $2 the Roosters than the Raiders. But it's the match I'm looking forward to the most in the round.
And it'll be right at the end, so you're having a glass of wine after winning on the punt.
Mm.
Let's get your round 13 set. And so just to be clear, this set went out on Tuesday. So things change a lot since Tuesday.
Yep.
So some of them might be completely accurate, but it is.
Yeah, I'll
set.
Talk through it. Especially with Origin coming in, so it might change again because we don't know who's backing up. But what we do know is I think Tigers are playing North Queensland. That line hasn't moved. It's 9.5 I saw you can get. I think that's my best bet of the round, the Tigers. I can't believe they're getting 9.5. I think the fact that Galvin's moved on now will calm the situation. I think that they've got a great side. I actually think they're a better side than what North Queensland are. Obviously Luai, you got Appy, you got Dewey, you got Buller at the back there. I think 9.5 away from home, up in North Queensland, who I backed North Queensland last match against, had a small bet on them against Manly at home, and Manly rolled them, which was surprising to me at home. North Queensland aren't going very well at all. So I don't have a great deal in that game. I'd have North Queensland favourite by about 2 points. Broncos plus 3.5, which we put out early in the week. That actually has rolled around to -3.5. I would stay out of that game now. Turbo's pulled out for Manly. Jake's not playing either. I think the market overreacts a bit to when Tom pulls out because he's not going as good as obviously what he was. Manly aren't going as good as what they were, but either of the Broncos aren't going much good either. So Broncos are 3-point favourites now. When I put that out, I thought Reece Walsh was going to be in the side. Wouldn't surprise me if Payne Haas pulls out as well after the Origin. So, yeah, I wouldn't be betting there now. The other game you can get, Parramatta plus 3.5. All the Panthers are going to back up, I do believe. That line has gone to 4.5 now. I'm definitely going to be on Parramatta. They're more they're the in-form team. Yep. They played really well without Lomax, which surprised me without Lomax. And also Moses last week. I think Penrith will miss the eight. Yeah. I think Penrith,
and even if they fall into the eight, last on the ladder.
Yeah, there's not that much, but there's not that much between last and sort of fifth. But I don't know. It's they've won four in a row.
They're running out of real estate, aren't they?
And even if they do make the eight, it's so hard to do anything from there. I think their season's done.
Yeah.
And I think Parramatta are playing pretty well. So I think I'd have that not much in that game at all. 4.5 at home, which is actually a Penrith home game, I believe, and it's played at Parramatta's home game, which is hurting them as well. So my two plays there, Tigers and also Eels, both we start.
You've been outstanding. You can go to lunch now. So thank Beautiful. You very much. Thank you, everyone. That's Wolfdown's Rugby League week done for the week. We'll be back next week. Next week we'll be back on Wednesday. We did it on Thursday though because obviously Origin was on last night. Thank you for watching. See you next week.